Ghana fails to strike a deal to restructure $13 billion of international bonds from over 1,400 cities and 140 countries. We bring you the Good Morning Africa podcast. Good morning, Africa, and welcome aboard your pulse on everything business in Africa. I am Ritha Dong. For more, follow us on Twitter at The Key Financial News, and you can find me at Ritha Dong. Your main story is brought to you by BK Capital, a leading investment company in Rwanda. Our experienced advisors specialize in bonds and shares and can help you unlock and tap potential of your franc investments. Whether you're an investor or a shareholder, we provide a calculated strategy for financial empowerment. To learn more about the world of investment possibilities, visit our website at www.bkcapital.rw for an in-depth exploration. Climate smart agriculture and specifically agritech is critical in increasing yields. In this episode, we explore the complex dynamic between mechanization and upholding the tenets of climate smart agriculture. We speak to Antonio Corrido, country representative for the Food and Agriculture Organization, on the sidelines of the Agribusiness Mixana.
Climate change is real and it's with us. And we know that agriculture sector is a major contributor to climate change. 30% of global emission comes from the agriculture sector. So which means that as a sector, we need to do also our best to contribute to this global challenge that we have. So we see that mechanization is definitely one key aspect for us to improve our productivity. We cannot continue to think that we can end hunger in our continent, continue to use hoes only. Given the amount of the land, given the population pressure, that means that we need to mechanize. So, but what kind of mechanization? That becomes an issue. What kind of technical solution that we bring to agriculture production to ensure that our carbon footprint in agriculture is minimized? So the balance that we want to see is a type of agriculture that is different to ones that we have practiced so far. It's an agriculture that really wants to increase the production, wants to have better nutrition, but also wants to have a better environment. So the challenge for all of us, including the agripreneurs, is what type of the technology that we continue to invest to ensure that we contribute also to reduce the impact. On livestock, there are a number of solutions that we can do. As you know, livestock also is a major emitter when it comes to methane, one of the gases that is more, even more than CO2, the impact that it has, 20 times greater than CO2. So the push is how we can have a system of livestock production that have a net zero in terms of methane emissions. So this requires that we change the way that we're raising our animals, the way we're feeding them, and the way we manage the waste as well. So the challenge for the government, the challenge for the private sector, is what type of technology we use. In this regard, the role of FAO and the role of our partners is to see that we increase more on technology transfer. I think that is important for us to have the right technology and for this technology also to be affordable for our farmers to ensure that we have both increased production and productivity. At the same time, we have less impact on our environment and also less contribution to global warming and climate change.
And a quick look at the market. The market segment is powered by the Development Bank of Rwanda. We empower you. Cocoa futures tumbled by over 7.5% to $10,108 per ton on Tuesday from the previous session's record high of $10,836, mainly due to increased volatility and low market liquidity. Investors are anticipating the release of first quarter cocoa grind data from Europe and North America on Thursday, which is expected to show a decline compared to the previous year, likely due to a bean shortage. Since the start of the year, cocoa prices have skyrocketed by 140%, consistently hitting record levels due to poor harvests. Extreme weather conditions in major cocoa-producing countries in West Africa, such as Ivory Coast, Ghana, and Cameroon, have significantly impacted production. And a quick trip around Africa, the International Monetary Fund has revised down South Africa's 2024 growth forecast by a marginal 0.1% from a January forecast of 1% to 0.9%. It noted that fiscal pressures are anticipated for many of the countries holding elections this year, including South Africa. The IMF expects the global economy to grow by 3.2% in 2024, as well as next year. In its latest World Economic Outlook report, the IMF notes that global economy has remained resilient despite numerous headwinds, including the impact of a pandemic and a Russia-initiated war against Ukraine. It further notes that global inflation is expected to continue in a downward trajectory well into next year. Ghana has failed to strike a deal with two bondholders to restructure $13 billion of international bonds. This is according to its government, in a blow to its efforts to swiftly emerge from default and economic crisis. Talks were derailed for now after the IMF indicated that the deal would not fit its debt sustainability parameters, which set out how much debt it thinks a country can afford. This is according to the government. Ghana had been in formal talks with two groups holding its international bonds since March 16th, one international group of Western asset managers and hedge funds, and another one including regional African banks. The regional African bondholder group had also rejected part of the proposed rework, including an option to retain the original value of the bonds with a longer maturity and lower coupon. In December 2022, Ghana defaulted on most of its external debt of about $30 billion as it fell into economic crisis. Debt costs and inflation surged, reserves dwindled, and the government found itself unable to access international bond markets. Growth in the world's second biggest cocoa producer has since started to recover, with the economy growing 2.9% in 2023, better than the 2.3% the IMF predicted in January. Drug regulators in Tanzania, Rwanda, and Zimbabwe have recalled a batch of Johnson & Johnson children's cough syrup as a precautionary measure after their Nigerian counterpart said laboratory tests found high levels of toxicity. The countries joined Nigeria, Kenya, and South Africa in recalling the same batch of the syrup, which is used to treat coughs, hay fever, and other allergic reactions in children. South Africa has also recalled an additional batch. Laboratory tests on the syrup by Nigeria's health regulators show a high level of diethylene glycol, which has been linked to deaths of dozens of children in Gambia, Uzbekistan, and Cameroon since 2022 in one of the world's worst waves of poisoning from oral medication when consumed, and can result in acute kidney failure. The batch of Benyl pediatric syrup recalled was made by Johnson & Johnson in South Africa in May of 2021, although Kenvu now owns the brand after a spin-off from J&J last year. Tanzania Medicines and Medical Devices Authority said it had begun the recall on 12th of April after hearing about the Nigerian test results. Thank you for always waking up with us. Good Morning Africa is a product of the K Financial. If you have suggestions or you want to check out more stories, visit the website. That's thekfinancial.com. And don't forget to subscribe. You can also find us on all social media platforms at the K Financial. And you can find me at Withadon.